But I was.
Huh?
Did you put the mask on?
I did, yeah.
You are?
I did, and she get well. She, did I tell you that story?
Yes.
Yeah. So I didn't do that on Halloween. In fact, she said before you put it on, like, we have some rules: no roaring with the mask on. So I said, so can I roar with the mask off? Yes. Can I put the mask on without roaring? Yes. But I can't roar and have the mask on at the same time. She said, definitely not. So I adhered to that.
Those sets of rules.
So she had a good time, but I was the beast and just walked with her. Nobody really said much about my costume. They said something. They said a lot about hers, though. So
did you dress up too?
No. There's no room if you're Beauty and the Beast. That's there's true. She's a third wheel, right? yeah. Belita being Gaston, that we
could
quite
do like Shrek with the princess and like the dragon kind of thing. Or Donkey.
So maybe next year.
That's a good one.
Okay. Keep that in mind. Mental note. So Palak, would you like to update us on the PanS and what you learned? And the therapist, too. Yeah. It's going to be good. Yes,
Taylor. Another question about if there's positive and negative in the same answer. Oh, is that what you said? I'm so sorry.
Well, if there's positive and negative, so it would be like 1 minus 1 would be 0, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem. But we'll also look at the other two, the positive affect scores and the negative affect scores, in conjunction with the difference between the two scale scores, and find out what the correlations are with our trauma scale. Palak contacted the author of the PanS X at Notre Dame and got a response. And she has three other email messages out to folks who created the PanS C. And so she's been working hard to make this poster into a reality. I appreciate that. So everybody's riding on Palak's coattails right now, including me. So I appreciate that. So, everybody got the two outputs and my email message, and so also the transcript for next week. I sent that out as well. Could everybody open it? No.
I figured out a system.
We have a
system. Yeah. So I shouldn't worry about it. No, is what you're telling me. Unbelievable. Wow.
It doesn't open on the laptop.
What?
It doesn't open on our laptop. Or at least on our two.
There's no...
It doesn't open on our two.
It doesn't open. Yeah. You guys both have Apples.
I have Acer.
Everyone else
Acer. Oh, what do you have? What do you have?
I have an HP, but it opened on my husband's computer.
It's so weird because I have a Dell and it opens perfectly. It actually has the little W, which means it's a Word file.
Yeah,
it does have a .y, but it should open in...
I just open it on my phone and download it on my phone, and then I either read it on my phone or send it to my WhatsApp, and I can work on my laptop. That's fine.
Wow, that sounds painful. But, you know, it didn't hurt you much because you did very well, so whatever you're doing is great. So let's review the scores, the ratings. And this time I did include the gold standard. So we have our standard deviations here, which I sorted in descending order. And we've got about 12 in the 2 range, which we still want to get that way down. But anyway, at least we're not in any 3, we're not in the 3 territory. These are this gold standard. Of course, you see some 0.5s, which means that the scores of the 2 raters were aggregated and came up with a half score. And then we got everybody else's score. So I was disappointed to see that 93 is still causing problems. Wow. The third most discrepant item in the group.
Which one is 93 again?
93 is the yes, therapist is neutral.
I didn't think the therapist.
Yeah, we'll get there. The experts felt that it was pretty much in the middle. Yeah.
So.
Well, you just said that that they definitely weren't neutral.
No, but 6 is like a little bit more. 6 is like
6 is almost right in the middle.
I thought 5 is right in the middle.
Is it almost right in the middle?
Oh, almost right in the middle.
6 is slightly characteristic. So slightly neutral, but then you said earlier, just a few seconds ago, that definitely wasn't neutral. So
I did between 6 and 8. 6 and 8 means he's not neutral, right? Between 6 and 8.
You put a 9.
I put a 9?
Yeah.
Okay, so then. Too great.
You know, to the right is characteristic, to the left is not characteristic. Okay, so if it's not neutral, right, if you think they're not neutral, the person's not neutral, it would be on the left side.
Oh,
so you thought this therapist was as neutral as can be.
I'm gonna look at it on my
computer. We don't need to review the sides of the scale, right?
No.
The right side
no,
is characteristic.
Therapist wasn't neutral. So saying therapist wasn't neutral, we put it on.
I think the item is therapist is neutral, but if I'm wrong, correct me.
No,
let's look it up. Therapist is neutral. You thought this was the most neutral therapist ever created. Earlier you said definitely not neutral, so I don't know. I don't know what to say. We'll get there, though. Oh, I was having a conversation with Deepak a while ago today, this afternoon, and we were talking about how Amanda crushed it for the second week in Rome, and I suggested maybe you could share some tips or ideas on how you go about the Q sorting process that might help others.
Basically, I read the transcript.
Step one. Read the source material. Okay. You take notes. How many people take notes when they do this? Look at that guy. He didn't take notes and he crushed it too. Yes, I think that's really important.
And I do three piles, like basically not characteristic, basically characteristic. And then I sort from there.
That's the old school way. That's the way I do it. I don't know if other people do that, where you have to just sort the items into three general piles first, and then take each of those three piles separately and divide those piles into three piles. And you'd end up with nine piles. I don't know if people... Is Amanda the only one who does that? Oh, you do that too? Three piles and then... Anyone else? What? So that might... It might add a little bit of time, but I think it's well worth it if it boosts your correlations.
Yeah, I think that helps in terms of figuring out like a nine pile. Like it's easier to figure out what's the most characteristic when you already have like just 30 items.
Yeah, that's something.
Right. And when I do that, just to add on to what Amanda's saying, I just keep in the back of my mind that roughly twice as many cards should go in the middle pile as the two extreme piles. Because ultimately, the items that go into the middle, the three middle piles, are twice as many, 50 items. All full 50 items go into the middle piles. And then you got 25 and 25 on the left and right. So I keep that in mind too as I'm doing the first pass through the items, that roughly for every item I put in the left and right, I should be putting two items in the middle. I don't know if you do that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I try to make sure that I have a lot of them in the middle. Basically.
Yeah.
And if I don't, then that's usually like a sign that I'm going to be off.
Right.
I think like everything's characteristic.
Right. Yeah, if you're skewed one way or the other, then you have to pull everything to the left.
I actually have a comment about that.
Yeah.
I used to do that like last year, but I find that the instructions for the PQS, like kind of have you sort it more on the extremes as opposed to in the middle. Like it says if it's not there at all, like rate it low. Does that make sense? So there's a lot of items that I feel like actually require you.
All right, so let's. I think that's a very important observation. I want to address that because maybe that's going to really improve everybody's correlations with the experts. Yes.
An example. So, like, therapist self-discloses. So that if they do a lot of times, whatever characteristic, and
but I guess we're used to like if it's not there, put it in the middle pile.
Right.
But on here, it would say if they refrain from self-disclosure, placed toward non-characteristic, even when the patient exerts pressure from the therapist to do so.
Right. So let me address that. Okay? So that's a good one to talk about. Another one is sexual issues are discussed, right? So obviously, if it's yes, you put it in a characteristic pile. If you don't see it, like if there's no self-disclosure going on or there's no sexual issues being discussed, it goes in a middle pile. Just like the CPQ goes in the middle pile. However, if there's pressure to self-disclose or pressure to discuss sexual issues, but they're not discussed and there's no self-disclosure, then it goes in a negative, the uncharacteristic pile.
Says, like, are you married? And the therapist just doesn't answer, or
then that therapist self discloses, definitely uncharacteristic. But if the patient doesn't ask any questions of the therapist and the therapist doesn't volunteer any information, probably go in a middle pile. Or sexual issues. I've talked about this 6-year-old kid in here probably, right? The kid who pulled down his pants. You know, sexual issues weren't discussed. I just told him to pull up his pants. I didn't say, so what's your sexual desire right now? I didn't get into it with him. I said, please pull up your pants. He did, and we went on. Sexual issues weren't discussed. But was there a pressure on me to discuss that? Yes. So that would go in a very uncharacteristic pile because there was some pressure, and I made the decision not to address it. I just said, pull up your pants.
I guess my point is that I don't know what the specific instructions are for that item, but I've noticed that a lot of the items explicitly instruct you to rate it low if it's not happening at all.
If you could give me an example, that would help.
As a self-image as opposed to discussion, so characteristic. And
what item number?
35.
Okay. Self. Yeah, go ahead.
Self-image is a focus of discussion. These are characteristic and the topic of discussion is patient's concept of feeling that is a perception of self, whether positive or negative. Place uncharacteristic and if images of self play little or no part in dialogue. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So rather than
in the middle
pile, So let me just clarify how I'd like you to use the PQS. If there's some pressure to discuss specific activities and it's just ignored, that would be uncharacteristic. If it's not really an issue, it doesn't come up because no one's bringing it up, then it would go toward a middle pile. Yeah, okay. All right. And maybe that'll help us all to get closer to the gold standard, because this is how I trained the two raters who created the gold standard.
Well, I think that makes sense. Why we rated so low?
Yeah, but then what would that say to Amanda who rated so highly? Have you been interpreting them like if it's an issue but it's not discussed, it gets in a uncharacteristic pile, but if it's just not really an issue at all, it gets in the middle pile, or?
No. I've been writing it very literally, so the one I just read about the activities outside of session, I have it in a one for this time around. But the one, like we mentioned about pressure to disclose, if it's said, like, it's ignored, or it's pressured to, like, then I just read it literally.
Yeah. I think it's easier if we just follow this rule throughout, because that's how I trained the group 10 years ago, and that's how I've trained the CPQ folks. And the CPQ is modeled directly after the PQS. Celeste Schneider, who created the CPQ, worked directly with Enrico Jones. In fact, Enrico Jones was her dissertation advisor at Berkeley. And so she modeled the CPQ directly after the PQS, and the CPQ definitely works that way. I was in almost constant contact with Celeste Schneider around the CPQ. We've co-authored some papers together. Enrico Jones, obviously, I couldn't do that. He died in 2004, but so let's make that rule and see if that helps our reliabilities. Okay? People understand the rule? like self-disclosing if patients bugging the hell out of the therapist, you know, I want to know what kind of car you drive. Really want to know. And the therapist, you know, doesn't tell them. I'm thinking about that because I had a patient a long time ago who did make that demand. They want to know what kind of car I drove. And I wasn't going to tell them, or I said, you know, why do you want to know? I don't want to analyze it. I just want to know. She was borderline. Finally, I said, you know something? I will tell you at the end of the session what kind of car I drive if we can talk about what the importance is to you, that you know that information. So we eventually talked about it. At the time, I owned a Prius, and I said, you know, I own a Toyota Prius. I thought so. What does that mean? You know, so it stirred up a lot of feelings, but... So I eventually did self-disclose that information. But if I hadn't, right, and she was pressuring me to self-disclose, if that session had been Q-sorted, you'd put it in pile one. If she's not applying any pressure for me to self-disclose and I don't self-disclose, then it's the middle pile, 4 to 6. That make sense? All right, so hopefully that'll help everyone to improve our reliability amongst ourselves. So getting back to the list. So number 16 was the biggest offender. So let's see what 16 is. There is discussion of body functions, physical symptoms, or health. Now there, so if there's no discussion of body symptoms, physical health, physical symptoms, or health, what pile would it go in?
If there's no discussion.
What did we just talk about? If there's some pressure to talk about it, and the therapist doesn't do anything with it or changes the subject or whatever, then it's not really discussed, and it would go in one because there's pressure. But if it's not a an issue, if you know, patient doesn't seek to talk about it and the therapist doesn't talk about it, then it would go in pile five. Yes?
I'm going to make like a code book for us. There's only a few things that are
going to
be in
there,
but
yes, we decided. I wrote it down. I wrote it down somewhere. Let me see. Yes. Less than 3 items would be not a specific focus.
And the other item was item 93 that we always talk about neutrality. I know we mentioned about opinions versus interpretation. I guess I just want to have you reiterate what that decision was as well.
Okay, so what is an interpretation? It's an explanation of some kind of conflict or issue that a patient is presenting. So how do you understand it? Well, I think that you constantly hate men because you saw your father's arrival for your mother's attention. That's an interpretation. It's an Oedipal interpretation, but saying, you know, you should vote for Bernie Sanders in the 2020 Democratic election campaign. That's not an interpretation. That's an opinion that I'm offering to the patient. Or, you know, if you continue down this path, you will kill yourself. That's not an interpretation, that's a prediction. So those are different from interpretations.
So for the sake of the code book, you're saying that item 93, an interpretation would still be able to be neutral.
Yes.
But an opinion would not.
Right. Right, so the therapist could make 50,000 interpretations in one session, but be totally neutral. Okay, great. Thank you. So we have this discussion of body functions, physical symptoms, or health. And let's see what we've got. So the experts put it in pile two. And what that tells me is that either they both put it in pile two, or one put it in pile one, and the other put it in pile three. There are no other options. So given that fact, everybody should have seen this item as uncharacteristic.
Unless we read it as how we just talked about it.
No, hopefully the experts I trained did it the way that I just said we should do it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think they did.
No.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because I would be reading this as a five based on what we just talked about.
I didn't know. That. Yeah, so.
You would have put it in five based on what we just talked about.
Yeah.
Right, because it didn't happen, but I put it in one.
So did I.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Did I?
It did.
What?
Okay, go ahead, Palak. You have the floor.
The patient says my hands tremble and my legs feel like they're on the
there's something that is just disturbing. Literally shudder. You shudder right after you said it. You start to shake all over for a few seconds.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of discussion
seven,
about that.
That's like,
I think
okay.
I put a one.
Here, I'll put up more.
So what about a five? Would that work for people?
Six, maybe?
Six,
it's
seven?
It's in there.
Well, just because it's in there doesn't mean it's characteristic, right? There's a whole lot of other stuff going on in this session.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And this takes up how many seconds of time out of 45 minutes? So you have to... So you're always rating these items in relation to every other item. That's what makes it so difficult, right? So that's why I suggested a five, maybe a six. I mean, how salient was this part of the session, do you think? Was it a big...
Shaking in her chair while she's talking during the session. I think it's pretty salient.
Well, is the shaking salient, or is what she's talking about that makes her shake salient? What did you put it, nine?
I put seven.
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 Well, this is good because there's a lot of variation here. So we got 7, 1, 1. Right, so six, difference of six between Matt and Brian and Margarita. And then let's see. We've got 6, 8, 7, and then 1 and 3. So everybody's all over the place. So I would wonder, I would disagree with the experts, and I would say 5 or 6. What does that mean? You're very proud of yourself.
It's sometimes frustrating to see that like, we put the work, such work in, and then the experts just didn't agree with us.
Well, you know, they're humans. They're humans. They're not. They're not perfect. You know, ultimately, what's going to matter is not whether you're correlated with the gold standard. It's whether you're correlated with each other. That's what's really going to matter in the end. Right. That's what I really care about. You know, because these are sessions that have already been coded. You know, we're going to be coding uncharted territory, and you guys are going to be the experts then. And there's nobody going to be looking over your shoulder, you know, it's how well you correlate with your partner. So, Amanda and Margarita are veterans of with that process, and Taylor too, right? So how's it feel to be out on your own then? Actually, weren't you partners with Margarita last year?
Not yeah. Last year, the year before.
Oh, the year before? Okay. So what was that like?
I'm sorry. What's the question?
I think we agreed on a lot of things.
Oh.
So
it's easier to
match up with one person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's why we're
yeah,
sorry. It's all right. All right, so that's 16. We've got 51. Now, we know what the two Raiders rated. Can anyone take a guess? 1 and 2. There are no other options, right? So they're very convinced. Then we got 677. And 6-4. All right, so Pollock and Amanda were in the range, and so was Deepak. And interestingly, they were the top three scorers. So maybe you guys could shed some light on this. Now, this is item 51. So let's see what item 51 is. Therapist condescends to or patronizes the patient. So let's look at the uncharacteristic end of this. Place toward uncharacteristic direction if therapist conveys by his or her manner, tone of voice, or comments that he or she does not assume an attitude of superiority. So making sure the patient understands they're equals, they're on the same level. Does the therapist do that? Now, according to the experts, the therapist goes out of his or her way to convey a sense of equality, egalitarianism, not condescending, not hierarchical. So maybe Pollock, Amanda, and or Deepak can comment on that, since you guys agreed with the experts.
Yeah, I thought he was, I mean, I guess I could understand the other point of view, but I felt like...
With the other point of view being that he was superior?
Well, yeah, I could see, like, reading it again, I could see, maybe from the way he's talking, maybe you could try to imagine the tone that he's using and stuff like that, but just reading it...
Yeah, try not to imagine too much.
But, like,
yeah.
Looking at it just off the thing, it seemed like I agreed with what Pollock said, and I thought that he was trying to, like, probably empathize with the patient and, like, taking their feelings into account and being genuinely involved, yeah.
All right, so let's hear from someone on the other side. Ryan and Margarita were sevens.
So I'm looking at two comments, and I think it was how I read it in my head. I don't know if that's
okay.
So he said, and you thought that really happened? I'm like, I don't know, I read that as like patronizing. And then he said,
like, what a jerk. How could you possibly think that happened?
Yeah. And she said,
man is laughing. Why?
That's just how I read it.
So rather than just being curious, you read something into it beyond the curiosity.
Yeah, and then she says, I don't know, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I don't know. And he says, well, I think it's worth talking about. So like I read it, I don't, I know that one could be like seen as still neutral, but like I don't know, the way I read it in combination.
Amanda.
So the first comment you mentioned about like how could you think that I could see why you would think that, why you might read it that way. But then this is the comment.
deep. I thought, well, I agree with what Amanda was saying, but the way I thought about it was more in a general sense. Like, I kind of, that's why I said I could understand that point, because if you read it like that, then it's very easy to see how you could think that the therapist would be condescending if you tried to, like, plaster a tone onto it. But I kind of tried to remind myself through the entire time that, like, this isn't, I'm not reading a text conversation that, like, my friends and I would be having.
Right.
Or, like, I'm not reading some colloquial conversation that just two regular people are having. This is a conversation that between a therapist and a client. So I kept having to put that head on it, or, like, look at it from that viewpoint.
But,
like,
I feel like that's an assumption.
It could be an assumption, but so the thing is, like...
Well, equally, it's an assumption to think
that
he's...
Right,
right,
so it
yeah.
could go either way. So I feel like unless there's, like those subtle digs that we could perceive possibly as being having undertones or something, I don't know, maybe, like, it would... Because it causes discrepancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you viewed it like that, like, it's a therapist interaction. Maybe, I don't know if that's wrong. That's just how I did it.
No, I think... See, in order to rate this item, I think you have to have, like, more clear evidence. And I don't think there's real clear evidence for a tone of superiority or condescension. I think you'd have to have some clear evidence to place that item in a characteristic pile. All right? Mm-hmm.
I think he had to end early or something. So that kind of felt like, to me, like, you also, I mean, you don't pay for this time because I'm assuming it's inpatient, right?
Yeah.
Right. But if it wasn't, it would be something like, oh, you're paying me for a service, so I'm not going to basically screw you out of however many minutes. So that stuck out to me, too, in terms of, like, this is a two-way thing. And if I have to leave early, I'll extend next week.
So a condescending person would say, you know, I gotta leave. Too bad. You're not worth my time. You're not making much progress, so, like, I'm out of here. That would be a rather extreme. That'd be a 9. All right. So you guys are getting it? Okay. So then we come to 93, our favorite. And so the experts put it in 6. They were kind of non-committal. We got 3-3-3. That's not within 2. Our rule of 2. 1. 9. 2.
So we only got 1 person. Who was the only person that met that?
1. Wow. And 2.
Oh, so no one got.
Or 2-1-9-2-4.
So Amanda got
2. Amanda was close.
Everybody else is not.
So, who wants to talk about neutrality? What do you guys think? Did he make any communicate any opinions? A lot? A little? Okay, let's hear him.
I think he did a lot of analysis. He did a lot of interpretation.
Well, that's fine. It's
That's why I didn't put it in the opposite.
But you know, you can make a lot of interpretations and share a lot of opinions at the same time. They're not exclusive. You can be a therapist who, like, does a lot of both. So in which case, where would you put the item if a therapist does a lot of both? Exactly. Okay. And that's where the experts felt too. Pellet.
In the middle of a fantasy of being abused, a very vivid fantasy, and it's scaring you to death because you don't recognize that it's a fantasy.
That is an interpretation. That's an explanation for a series of feelings that she's having. No, no, it is neutral. Interpretations are staying within the bounds of neutrality. It's opinions that aren't neutral,
oh, right,
or predictions. That's how,
okay,
we're defining.
So,
are you gonna? Do we have that in the code book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I have an opinion.
Well, I think it's worth talking about.
Was that cut you off?
Yeah. Now that's an opinion. So that definitely is an opinion.
What you're worried about is your own violent fantasies. And when some events happen that make it seem like those violent fantasies really got lived out, it scares the dickens out of you. I'm sorry. And apparently the fantasies are going on. You haven't said it in so many words, but you said you have the sense of a presence in your room. Also, what was that? Like spirits? Delusion?
Yeah, evil.
I wasn't in the session, so but I imagine that she's having some schizotypal,
yeah,
experiences. Absolutely. That's not an opinion.
I wrote interpretation next
to it. Oh, okay.
So I think I'm confused.
Okay. Right. All right, so then why did you put it in one? Let's try to get you unconfused.
One
is not neutral. But she had a lot of interpretations and she put it in one. Anybody have a working? Where was the brown one? Oh, there it is. Thank you.
Interpretation doesn't necessarily mean great high. Like an interpretation isn't this item.
Right.
Your feeling in crisis is an interpretation.
Yes.
I think I have to figure out the distinction. I just can't wrap my head around
it.
I don't know.
You should vote for Bernie Sanders. Now, is that, am I interpreting something about you, or am I telling you what to do? So, advice, suggestions, opinions, predictions, self-disclosures, that's all non-neutral stuff, right? So, you know, you should really tell your father to back off. Like, he's not supposed to be running your life. Just tell him to back off. Is that an interpretation or is that a suggestion? Or I could say, it sounds like you're afraid of your father and that's why you won't confront him. Because you're fearful that he's going to hurt you if you say something to him. That's an interpretation.
So
you hear the difference?
Yeah.
And one, I'm telling you what to do, and the other, I'm trying to explain.
So you have a very vivid fantasy of violence.
That's an interpretation. Right?
I think,
so she's...
That's an opinion.
No. I think maybe opinion maybe is not the right word. It seems like, instead of saying opinion, maybe more like suggestion.
Okay, suggestion. Does that work?
I think opinion is a little too
okay.
Too similar.
I mean, everything that we say in life is an opinion, right? right? Everything I say is an opinion. It's
right.
My opinion.
Yeah, that's why it's confusing, because if you make an interpretation, is an opinion.
Yes, you're right. It's an opinion on the person's,
right,
you know, state of affairs or their mental dynamics. So, yes, in that sense, if you want to take a broad view of opinion, yes, everything's an opinion. Every single thing a therapist says is an opinion. Yes, Amanda.
How I approach it is like an explanation. Like an interpretation is an explanation of why something's happening. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or why something happened, or yeah.
And so it's not suggesting they act a specific way; it's more of just an explanation of why and understanding. So that's how I've been differentiating.
So forget the word opinion. I agree with Eli. Think about suggestion or advice.
Okay.
I think that would be a palette.
So what would this be? I'll tell you another reason I think that this.
I think
I'll tell you another reason I think that this is an important issue for you.
Well, what comes after that then?
I think what was it yesterday, the first time you were ever able to get angry at me when I kicked you out of town. This is what the therapist is saying.
Yeah, that sounds like a suggestion or an opinion, right?
So, I have a question. So, Amanda, you said that you graded it in the middle because you saw it happening sometimes and you saw it not happening other times. But, like, I don't know, I perceive those comments as salient, so I guess I don't know. That's why I rated it high or lower.
So I rated it neutral because I felt that there were times that were suggestions and there were a lot of.
They cancel each other out.
So interpretations cancel out opinions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I guess the question is why they gave it a 6 as opposed to a 9. Meaning like that's one example.
Because we've already identified a number of suggestions.
But we only identified one.
No, Amanda mentioned one, Palak mentioned one, Taylor mentioned one. Oh, Margarita mentioned one. So there are suggestions going on. They coincide with interpretations. And so these experts felt that, all right, it slightly tilts toward the interpretive neutral side, but there were significant times when the therapist wasn't neutral, when he just offered his opinion or suggestion or advice. I don't think there were any predictions in this session. Yeah. But that would be another instance of being non-neutral, right? So you're going to kill yourself if you keep going on like this. There's no explanation involved there. So does that help? Are people more confused, less confused? Did I unconfuse you?
I think Eli did. I need
to. Yay, Eli.
Well, suggestion, but it can also be. Either it's suggestion or prediction. Meaning,
right.
Because a suggestion is not it's not the same thing as a prediction.
No.
Thank you very much.
So it's one
patience.
Of those.
I want us all to succeed.
I know, and it's ridiculous. Thank you.
But it's not just you. I mean, look at the scores.
Yeah.
Right? You weren't the only one who rated it low. So, you know, my goal is for everybody to be on the same page. We can help create that. And I think what Amanda is doing is assuring that we will all be on the same page with these controversial items that keep coming up, like 93. So we got some time left. Item 2. The standard deviation is 2.40. And the experts rated it 6.5. So 6.5. So we know that the raters didn't agree. We don't know whether they were like right next to each other or further. We don't know. But we know they didn't exactly agree. So Matt nailed it. Brian was at a 1. Marguerite was 5. That's okay. This is the 4th one. Okay. Eight, that's okay. 9 is a little out. 7 is fine. 5 is fine. 4 is a little out.
What was it? Number 2.
That would count. See, that counts.
Yeah, but I think it would be more like 7.
7 I can go with. It's characteristic, but it's not like, it doesn't take up the entire session. Therapist draws, okay. So, uncharacteristic if there's little or no focus on nonverbal behavior.
So, this is an item that would now be placed in 5 if it didn't happen.
Right. The problem is, with this item, of course, we're not coding videos. We're coding a transcript. So if there's something like really, let's say that the patient is like, keeps pulling on his ear violently and the therapist is ignoring it, right? This item would go in pile 1. But you can't see that. So this item becomes very difficult to code because you're not seeing the nonverbals. You're only hearing what's going on between the patient and the therapist.
So you said if it didn't happen at all, you would put it in a 5?
Yeah, little or no focus on nonverbal behavior. They're saying uncharacteristic. But what we've defined as uncharacteristic now for some of these items anyway is the idea that there has to be some pressure in the atmosphere in the room to do whatever it is. But it's not being addressed. That's what she's working on. So here, so this item would be like this patient I keep talking about, you know, pulled his pants down. That's a nonverbal behavior. He didn't say anything. He didn't give me any warning. He just did it. And I said, put your pants back up. So I addressed it. Right? So I addressed a nonverbal. Maybe I didn't discuss the interpretations around it, but I did bring it up. So you couldn't put it in a 1 or a 5. You'd have to put it higher. Pally.
This is why I
need to
do this as characteristic. This is what the therapist says. There's something about it that is so disturbing to you that you literally shudder. You shuddered right after you said it. You started to shake all over for a brief second.
I think we're saying it's characteristic. Absolutely. I don't know about a 9, but a 7 or an 8 definitely is in there. Definitely would go for that. So for this item, if it's not in there, hi.
Hey, I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if you were still in lab, but I know you wanted to give me an update about.
Yes. So at 6.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
No,
all right. I'll see you. Hi, Kayla. So what do we do if there's no nonverbal behavior that's discussed? That's the question. And we can make up our own rules here. We don't have to abide by anything else. The problem is, what? Middle pile?
When I've transcribed sessions, I've transcribed videos. I don't know if these are transcriptions of audios or videos, but sometimes I've run parentheses like,
These are audio tapes.
Okay.
These are audio that we don't have access to anymore. But like, I do think they like patient sniffling, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So if you read like 15 cases of patient sniffling and the therapist isn't bringing it up, like, wow, you have a cold, or you know, you have allergies, or then it would be uncharacteristic.
Yeah. So if it's like in front
if you see parentheses, like something nonverbal going on, or like there's a buzzing sound goes on for 25 minutes, but the therapist and the patient aren't talking about it. It's only the transcriber who notices it. Then it would go in uncharacteristic pile. If there's nothing like that, then it would go in the middle pile. How's that? Got that, Amanda? All right.
And it would go in the middle if?
If there's just no mention of nonverbal.
Got it.
Anything. But if there's some indication in parentheses that something's going on nonverbally, there's a buzzing sound in the room, there's constant sniffling on the part of the patient and the therapist isn't talking about it, then it'd go uncharacteristic.
Right.
All right? All right. I think we keep making progress on this. I'm looking for a breakthrough week where everybody's in the six range. All right, so number seven, same value of standard deviation as number two, and the same value actually by the experts, and the same rating from Matt, but totally opposite rating for Brian. And so the nines are a little bit out of range. Let's see what everyone else did. Seven is fine. One is out of range. 5, 7, 7 is fine. So the one's out of range. Yes, EK. So let's see what number seven is. Number seven is patient is anxious or tense versus calm and relaxed. Place toward characteristic end. If patient manifests tenseness or anxiety or worry, how about shuddering? Does that count? This may be demonstrated by direct statements, I feel nervous today, or indirectly by stammer, stuttering, etc., or other behavioral indicators. Place toward uncharacteristic end if the patient appears calm or relaxed. Conveys a sense of ease. Did she ever at any time convey a sense of ease or calmness or relaxedness?
Pretend that didn't happen. That was not intentional. I don't
you
know
get a mulligan on that.
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to discuss this at all? Who else had it really low? No, I think that was it, right? So, Eli, you were the only one who had it really. Okay, so great. So we go on to 37. And 37, 2.35 standard deviation. So the experts put it in 3. We've got 8, 5. 5 is okay, I'll take that. 1 is okay, I'll take that. The 8 is too high. And we go. It's 37, so 6. What was the experts? 3? So that's fine. 8 is too high. 3, 4, and 5 are all fine. So, Eli, and who was the other one who had it too high? 37. Matt. So Matt and Eli. Okay. 37. Okay, so this is another good example of where I can make clarifications here. So look at this part here. Impart information or make suggestions. Without behaving in a didactic or teacherly way. Alternatively, interpretations could be offered in the form of instruction. And you felt that the interpretations are being offered in the form of instruction.
I don't know, when he kept saying the words, to put it differently, I think this, and like kind of like contradicting her.
It was more just literally.
But was he acting like a teacher in the classroom?
I guess like.
Did it feel like you were listening to a conversation between a teacher and a student, or a therapist and a patient?
I felt somewhere in the middle. But I felt like he kept like.
I'm just looking at if you could pretend that you didn't know who these two individuals were, would you guess more it was a teacher and a student talking together or a therapist and a patient talking together?
Yeah.
That's what you can do with this item. Just pretend like you don't know what this is. Is it a teacher and a student talking together, or is it a therapist and patient talking together? I think if you apply that little strategy, that might help. All right? Let's do one more. So number 12. 226 was the standard deviation. 7.5 was the composite rating of the two experts. So we've got 3, that's out of range. 8's fine. 2 is out of range. Five is a little out of range. 6 is okay. 8's okay. And 8's okay. So number 12. Silences occur during the hour. Place our characters again. If there are many periods of silence or significant pauses during the hour or a few extended periods of silence. Uncharacteristic for their few silences, brief pauses in speech should not be rated as silences unless they are very frequent or longer than several seconds.
I don't remember seeing various pauses.
Just what's the page number, Palette? That would count.
I did not know that's what happened.
Honestly,
not
even the because there's time stamps.
I didn't realize.
I
thought they were all time stamps. I just skipped those parentheses.
And that little P can be very
right. Can you put that in the code
book? Yeah, to be honest.
Yeah, I just didn't know the P meant pause.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're meeting.
That's a big one.
It's great.
That's
one. Cool.
I didn't know that.
All right, so next week I'll expect everyone to have a 1, correlation of 1 with each other. All right, thanks everybody.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Yes.
Have a good weekend.
Professor?
Yes.
When are your office hours?
5 to 6 on Wednesdays and 6 to 7 on Thursdays.
5 to 6
Wednesdays. Awesome. But you have to have an appointment.
Yes. Yeah, I'll email you because I want to talk about this.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.